Time to rotate your secrets. Amazon reduces its staff, and let's cut GitHub some slack. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. If you're interested in attending, speaking, or sponsoring the event, visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Good morning and welcome to the January 6th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. Excellent. It's new year. I'm kind of in the yellow-ish. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, I saw a story that came up, and I probably should have covered it on Tuesday's episode, but there apparently has been a lot of kerfuffle online about the New Year's Eve ball drop from Times Square being a minute late. Had you seen that?
No way.
Yeah, so... here's the thing. So there's this thing called broadcast delay, right? You know this. You know latency, right? In our world, it's latency. But there's broadcast delay where from whatever's recorded, there's always a little bit of buffer that's being recorded before, you know, it goes out to the satellites and the production networks. And then call that 5 or 30 seconds. And then a lot of us, I know I was doing it, was watching on YouTube. And that's how we had YouTube on the TV and we're watching from there at our party. And that was like a full 60 to 90 seconds behind the ball drop, what I was seeing on TV. So apparently this happens every year. The article we found was actually from 2021, but there was a TikTok again about it this year. Yes, TikTok.
Wait, there's that much of a delay from 2021 to now?
That would be awesome. But yeah, apparently like the whole world found out about like broadcast delays and like dump timers and, you know, latency across different networks. That was kind of cool. If anything, it raises a little bit of awareness about like not everything is instantaneous, even though it appears that way. I don't know.
That is amazing. No, because then the question is, and maybe this can start a movement for the next New Year's ball drop. What is the solution? And is the solution going to be seen by some, let's say at a bar or get together where let's say they're checking their phone, because I was checking my phone, but I was looking at my phone and the TV and I noticed a substantial difference. And I said, maybe Verizon's off. But I'm wondering, is there going to be a better, more real-time way? And is that scalable based on the global view of that particular time change?
It's funny because like in our world, we focus so much on time sync. And if you don't have time synced up between server and client, your stuff like MFA, your TOTP won't work. You've ever had that, your TOTP, your second factor.
I go crazy. Makes me crazy. I'm like, what do you mean the time isn't synced?
And it's because it's based on time. Calling traditional POTS networks, time division multiplex, when you're looking at PRI and ISDN, it is. You know,
pause. Much of our world. Hey, all the youngins out there, POTS, the poor old telephone. Anyway, there's so many people.
All right. Plain old telephone system. It's the copper lines, the older. I apologize. I'm a VoIP nerd. You know what else I'm a nerd for, Tony? I'm a nerd for the news.
Let's get into the news. Jumping into my first story, Circle CI has a security alert. In a blog post from the Circle CI Chief Security Officer, Rob Zuber, we wanted to make you aware that we're currently investigating a security incident and that our investigation is ongoing. We'll provide you updates about this incident and our response as they become available. At this point, we're confident that there are no unauthorized actors active in our system. However, out of an abundance of caution, we'd want to make sure that all customers take a certain preventative measure to protect your data as well. Circle CI is a tool for engineers and development teams, DevOps management. Think DevOps management on steroids. Ray, there's a lot to unpack because this is a simple blog post, but the implications are severe. We're talking about supply chain management hacks. We're talking, everyone here is familiar with ransomware hitting a business. Well, then we hear about ransomware going upstream to a service that manages businesses. Well, now we've got a multitude of the initial impact from a singular business, single point, to now upstream to multiple points. We've also heard about the source code being attacked, and that was a huge concern of mine with LastPass. Fast forward months later, turns out that LastPass, the passwords were actually broken, and that is a huge concern. Everyone, please update, please update, please update your password. In this particular case, here's a deviation of that upstream tactic, where they're now talking about DevOps from a development team perspective to manage the source code. So it's not just a source code that's going to hit multiple customers. It's a way to manage the source code that goes to multiple industries, in fact. I feel like there's I thought there's no possible way we can get past the, you know, the source code portion. We've just transcended that. What am I missing here? What are your thoughts?
I'm just wondering where else in the chain, like, attacks.
I didn't even know there was that part of the chain. That's my point.
We do, right? Like, we continuous, so CI/CD, it's continuous integration, something delivery. Basically, it's you submit your code automatically gets processed and gets enveloped into the app. So the app keeps going. It's a standard practice in modern development. It absolutely, we use it internally. MMN uses it. Every SaaS company I've ever met uses it. It is a common thing. Circle CI is not the only one. There's others, but we've had the supply, like you mentioned, we had the supply, we had the GitHub repos attacked. We had the keys attacked. We have the vault downloaded and the LastPass vault downloaded and being attacked. We have spear phishing, you know, we have the social hacking, right? It just makes sense. This one, I mean, what's next? Hacking the LCD screens? So we're looking at it. Oh, wait, that is possible. Forget that. And then we have our favorite rubber duckies. So, you know, so, but you know what? Okay. So I'm going to do a positive takeaway, right? Beginning of the year, the new year, let's be positive. Let's look at the silver lining. Silver lining is that these things are, I'm a firm believer in using all opportunities to possibly learn from. So while the most MSPs do not have a CI/CD platform pipeline, whatever they're doing, because most aren't doing dev, maybe they are. Maybe, I mean, there are cases for it, but I would argue the majority aren't. But it teaches the MSP not to ignore pieces of the chain. It teaches them to get more granular with every single piece to know what you can protect against. And for that, I'm all for it. I mean, it sucks for those using Circle CI, but, you know, it's whatever. It's time. You know, it is what it is.
So does it – one of the things that was recommended by their CTO was changing your security, your secrets, your security secret. And for the secrets out there, think, hey, in order for me to give this to you, how did we meet? Well, there's a secret. Like, it's something that we know and only we know, and because you exchange that information, I give you the information that you're requesting. Which, by the way, if anyone ever, this is a personal message to everyone out there. If anyone ever instant messages you or texts you something, requesting something, ask, okay, hey, how did we meet? Just say that. The new hack attempts, it's been attempted to me several times on friends. I have friends' accounts that have been hacked. Just ask like that. And you'd be amazed at how quickly somebody's going to say and then ask why or try to deviate around that. And then you're going to realize, hey, that was almost, I almost just enabled a hacker. But those secrets, those passwords have to be changed. So if you're involved in something where you expect a security incident, rotate your passwords often, rotate your secrets often, and maybe this is one of those things that's going to inspire that particular practice, and more importantly, an automated way to do that. At least that's my hope. We could talk about this a lot. I'd love to hear what others are thinking about this, and you know what I'd love to hear, Ray?
What?
Some additional news, some really, really good news. Good news? Do you have good news?
Well, not so much happy as a little frustrating. In my second top story in the business section, Amazon confirms its massive layoffs will affect 18,000 employees, written by Mitchell Clark on TheVerge.com. In November 2022, the New York Times reported that the company was seeking to reduce 10,000 of its workforce. But based on Amazon CEO Andy Jassy's memo, the layoff will affect around 18,000 instead. In addition, most of the employees affected will be from Amazon stores, people, experience, and technology organizations. In an email, the CEO said that companies that last a long time go through different phases and are not always in the heavy people expansion mode. He added that the company usually holds off on this kind of announcement until it's communicated with those who are directly affected, but it was confirming the news now because the information had leaked externally. He said the company will start informing affected staff on January 18th. In September, Amazon revealed it had more than 1.5 million employees, and according to the tallies, Amazon's mass layoff would represent the highest number of people let go by a tech company in the last few months. As a side note, Meta plans to lay off 11,000 workers, approximately 13% of its workforce, and Salesforce plans to lay off 8,000 people, approximately 10% of its workforce. Tony, we talk about the incoming economic decline, potentially. We've seen industry experts argue over if it's really going to be a recession or not. But it seems pretty clear Microsoft, Meta, Okta, all these major companies, Apple, are making major moves in cutting off, trimming the fat, so to speak. How do you feel? Like, how must it feel for those 8,000 employees that they know layoffs are coming, but they don't know if it's them yet? Like,
terrifying.
That's rough.
I mean, if you guys haven't seen the blooper reel, I just want you to understand how authentic Ray was. And yes, I have some good news. No, I don't. I don't have good news. That was authentic. And now we're at a point of reality where we have to understand that there are going to be industries that are going to have some pullbacks occurring. Are they economically driven? We don't know. There are going to be some industries that are going to have some economic expansion. So we have to understand that there are going to be economically related, we'll call it downsizing in some areas, but there's going to be explosive growth happening in other areas. And we're pointing them out here for everyone to understand that it is occurring. You should always hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. In this particular case, the Amazon employees, I've heard predominantly executive level. I've heard that the frontline workers should be concerned to a point, but I have not heard a single thing about an economic impact to Amazon's overall transactions. In fact, I've heard the opposite. I've heard Amazon is growing drastically in regards to the frontline employee, pack ship, etc. So I don't know what that end result's going to be. I do know it's concerning, though. I do have some hope that a layoff at the executive level could actually help trim the fat, as you brought up. And I'm hoping that from a financial perspective, those employees can actually be set off into other technology sector related companies and help them grow the same way we're hoping Amazon is growing. But that's my take on it. But I want to really point out the fact that it's not all negative in all places. We were just pointing out some impactful stories.
I agree with you. These are things that need to take place. It sucks. Nobody likes losing their job. As a business owner, you do have to make rough decisions to keep your business going. It's 18,000 people. They're not running off 50 people in a building that may or may not be have evictions going on soon. Look at our Twitter story for that one. It's unfortunate for sure, but, you know, it sucks because you're excising the arm to make sure the whole body survives. And Amazon is doing these things. I know they don't take these decisions, not Amazon, I have no inside information, but I know business owners generally don't take this decision lightly. So it's important, you know, it's an important thing that happens, but maybe something MSPs should at least plan for how they would approach this if they had to make major distinctions or major changes across their staff. I don't know. Let us know. Have you ever been through this? Have you ever had to be on either end of this conversation? In the chat, let us know. But for now, Tony, do you at least have a happy story?
I do not. Straight from bleepingcomputer.com, Slack's private GitHub code repository has been stolen over the holidays. An immensely popular Salesforce-owned instant messaging app is used by an estimated 18 million users at workspaces and digital communities around the world, and that is Slack. According to the company, while some of Slack's private code repositories were breached, Slack's primary code base and the customer data remain unaffected. The wording from the notice published on New Year's Eve is, quote, "On December 29th, 2022, we were notified of a suspicious activity on our GitHub account. Upon investigation, we discovered that a limited number of Slack employee tokens were stolen and misused to gain access to our externally hosted GitHub repository. Our investigation also revealed that the threat actor downloaded private code repositories on December 27th. No downloaded repositories contained customer data, meaning no access to customer data or Slack's primary code base." So, Ray, I am concerned for a variety of reasons because you're either Team Slack or Team? Is that it? Yeah. You're one of those two. Team Slack. And before there's a lot of Team LastPass, Team Bitwarden, Team variety of whatever it may be, the source code being stolen isn't necessarily the data itself, but it shows how the joints connect in a lot of cases, and those weaknesses could be exploited. My concern to you is, since a lot of data is transmitted through Team and Team Slack, one of those is knowingly compromised at a certain level that it could expose the weaknesses. Is that going to lead to something later? Should everyone be concerned? And give us your thoughts.
I use Discord. I don't care. No, I'm kidding. No, I mean, what's the saying? Everybody, all software is open source. It's either open source from the start or the data gets leaked eventually anyway. You know, if the secrets
are not stored. Who has that saying? That is so morbid. Who has that saying? No one has that saying.
Okay, maybe that guy is me, but you know.
All the hackers right now are, yes, that is our new theme.
But you know, it's like when the NSA backs up your data by doing illegal copies. You thank them and move on. Now, so Tony has some experience with some of that. Not the illegal copying. Well, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but, whatchamacallit. But no, seriously speaking, like, if they're following best practices, they're not saving secrets in there. Yes, the encryption mechanisms will be there, but this is one of the major reasons that software developers should push for independent third-party verification and testing of your software for security testing, because you want the first third party that sees your code, somebody you've hired, not some open group that's going to try to hammer away it and look for vulnerabilities in your code. That seems like business 101. The other side of it is also, even if you're an enormous company with a ridiculous amount of money, I mean, Salesforce is enormous, way overpaid for Slack. But even if you're that kind of company, you still have to plan for what could happen. And if we just saw from our first story, if we just saw from this story, what could happen is damn near anything could happen. So plan for it all. MSPs, please plan for it all. What happens if QuickBooks Online is unavailable one day? What happens if the QuickBooks patch that you download and install actually corrupts something else on your system, or is a vector because their supply chain got hacked and now it's infecting your systems? What is your recourse on that? What are you doing? Plan for these things. I get it's hard, and I get you can go crazy doing it, but you plan for it, right?
I agree with that. And just to kind of touch on that, I'm a fan of Bitwarden. Bitwarden has a Docker version of that, which is really cool. So, I have set up a Docker version of Bitwarden and, internally on my own, you know, server that has, you know, my own, not local, but real signed certificates associated to it. And I keep a backup on my Docker version. So in the event of something going down, I have a failover. I have considered pulling everything off and going strictly local, but I actually keep this power down until it powers up to pull the synchronization. Because I think they're going to do a better job in security than I will. But I would love to hear what people are doing for those failover incidents. I'm neurotic. And I need to have a backup of my backup of my backup of my backup, which of course is backed up every 6 months, which of course is also backed up every 2 years and stored in a binder in a location that, you know, in a safe underneath my house, which was moved in a volcano.
The show showed us we have to be paranoid, right? I mean, let me ask you, is the paranoia better or worse since you started recording this with me last year?
Oh, so much worse. So much worse. Like, so much, like.
You know what? Let's get off the news. Let's get into some notables so maybe we can, like, our blood pressure can drop a little bit.
Yes.
In my first notable mention, as previously mentioned in my second story, Salesforce to lay off 8,000 workers in the latest tech purge, written by Michael Liedtke and Michelle Chapman on TechExplore.com. Salesforce just confirmed on Wednesday that it plans to lay off 10% of its workforce, approximately 8,000 employees. The latest job cuts are the largest in the company's 23-year history, and Salesforce expects the move to result in $1.4 million to $2.1 million in changes. In a letter to employees, Salesforce CEO Mark Benioff said that he takes the responsibility for the layoffs after he continued to hire too many people into the pandemic, with millions of Americans working from home and the demand for its technology increasing. Salesforce also announced it will close some of its offices, but did not reveal the locations. Affected employees will receive a minimum of 5 months of pay, health insurance, career resources, and other benefits.
And in my first notable mention, Twitter verification is still broken. From WashingtonPost.com and a story by Jeffrey Fowler. Well, Fowler originally impersonated Senator Ed Markley, and Twitter said it fixed its verification. So Fowler impersonated the senator again. It's a test of Twitter's $7.99 per month blue verification service. But Twitter, it seems, isn't verifying much of anything. 2 months into Musk's takeover, millions of Twitter users face a real question. Is Twitter getting better or worse? Is it even worth putting our time into Twitter anymore? Or should we abandon ship for something else, such as Mastodon, Instagram, or even TikTok? And in my next notable mention, from thehackernews.com, a new SHC-based Linux malware targeting systems with cryptocurrency miner. The new Linux malware, developed using a shell script compiler, SHC, has been observed deploying a cryptocurrency miner on compromised systems. SHC allows shell scripts to be converted directly into binaries, offering protection against unauthorized source code modifications. It's analogous to the BAT2EXE, that's BAT2EXE, utility in Windows that's used to convert any batch file into an executable. This bot supports only DDoS attacks such as TCP floods, UDP flood, and HTTP flood, but various other features including command execution, reverse shell, port scanning, and log deletion. It's recommended that users follow password hygiene and rotate passwords on a periodic basis to prevent brute force attempts and dictionary attacks. It's also advised to keep the operating systems up to date.
In our feedback from the YouTubes, actually, this was from the Reddit post, Roll for Initiative says, ConnectWise will buy Enable, please just no. Referring to the episode with Dave Sobel and the predictions earlier this week. Sony Turbo writes, we've been with Enable since 2004. Feel so lucky to have chosen that platform as we've watched nearly all the others that were around in the early days either fail or get bought and then fail. Silverback, Level Platforms, AdventNet, Nagios, Zenith Infotech, which is now Continuum, which is ConnectWise, pretty sure it's still awful, and many others. We have 10,000 endpoints and untold man hours dialing this platform in. Dear God, please stay out of our seat. Please stay out on your own, Enable. Here's a better prediction. Augment, the cloud-centric platform started by Gavin Garbutt, gets big enough to buy Enable, and now Gavin is in charge again. That wouldn't be so bad, would it?
And jumping into our community events, today at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 38 at 38, episode number 8 with Brett Mullins. On January 10th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network. Also on January 10th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tradecraft Tuesday presented by Huntress. On January 11th at noon Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better MSP Discussion presented by Everything MSP. And finally, on January 13th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's episode? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it 3 times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week and I never go on mute? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Mankey says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have a question? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail 833-MSP-Network. Tony, we weren't a minute behind. We were right on time. I wasn't muted. You were in the yellow. Maybe not the happiest stories we've ever talked about, but definitely some learning moments. I'd say that's a good episode. What do you say?
I think it's an amazing episode. As always, I love that we're updating everyone. I hear so much positive feedback on the back. Oh my gosh, tell me more about this story. I love the bloopers. The audience is incredible, and I could not be happier about providing this information with you.
So with that said, thanks for watching along, everybody. We appreciate you. Leave us comments. We love your comments. It makes us so happy. Whether it's on Reddit or the YouTubes or social, we love hearing from you guys. But until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
I have some good news, I think. No, I don't. Okay, to be fair, we go over a lot of stories. Like, I review a lot of stories before I pick what we're going to do for the show. And so I genuinely didn't remember what my number two story was. I'm like, it could be positive.
That was an authentic. No.
I'm sorry, Amazon. No. All right. Oh, this blooper reel. It like writes itself. All right. In our second top story, the business section. Sorry.
Am I up? I'm up. Am I up? Oh, that was fast. Here we go. Here we go. In my first Hold on. In my first notable mention, Twitter verification is still broken. In WashingtonPost.com, the written... I completely hosed this one. I'm going to have to start over from the beginning. Where is my note of... 2 months of Musk's... Two musks. Hold on. I copied and pasted another piece of code or another piece of notes from another part of the story, which should not be in there.
Okay.
I thought we were doing like a stoic pose.
I'm just happy I haven't been muted this whole damn episode.
Why am I missing the opportunity to say, I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not falling for that again. All right? So, maybe I am, I don't know. Anyway, all right, hold on. Let me get that out of the way so it can be all pretty. Oh, this is a disappointing face.
This is a lick of disappointment.
No, not doing it. Nah, that negative.